lot going on. Juicy stuff. Rams win.
Yeah.
Dodgers take 2 out of 3, close the gap a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was right about the Bruins. SC looked really good. There's a lot, Al.
Listen, I'm not asking for much. I just want a race in the NL West going down to the wire.
Check.
I want college football games that start at 7:45 at night and go till 11:30.
Wasn't it not closer to midnight by the time that thing ended?
Whatever time that
sure
was.
Felt like
turn
it.
Around with games starting at 10 a.m. in the morning in Indianapolis and then going all the way till last night. That's not bad.
No, it is not bad at all. And Gavin Lux is hot. Max Scherzer's going to win the Cy Young. There's a whole bunch of things to get into. I have a very quick one. It's kind of a non sequitur. You ready?
Yeah.
Have you ever hurt yourself while sleeping?
Like, yeah, I think I have.
Because
no, I think I'm
going through something right now. I worked yesterday, did the Rams game, pre-half and post, and the end of the first quarter and third quarter, 1 minute hits. And felt good, went home, watched the Sunday Night Football game, Kansas City, Lamar Jackson
Chiefs. How was your hit in the third quarter?
Pretty good. Okay. Actually clean. I was fired up for it. It was nice. Went to bed, felt good. Woke up this morning, ready to attack the day, ready to go do Travis and Slee, ready to get into Ask Slee, which we do every day in our Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 10:55. Did somebody come in, like Nancy, Tanya Harding come into my room in the middle of the night and hit me into the pipe on the knee? No. What's wrong with my knee? Why can't I stand up?
100% I've pulled a hamstring in the middle of the night with zero athletic, nothing. Nothing happened. All I did was churn. I wanted to churn from my left to my right, and I have a torn rotator cuff.
We were one step away from you guys having to send out a search party during the break because I almost went down in the hallway by the elevators. I nearly just by myself had a ACL tear
just
walking
down
the hallway.
We'd have got the Comrexes, met you out in the hallway. We'd have continued the show from out there.
There you go. You know what happened 1 year ago today, Al?
I do.
Whoop, it's not cool. Let me try that again. Let's try it again.
Trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!
Crowd was going crazy. Crowd was going crazy.
If the crowd, you mean me in my living room, yes.
Okay, so this is what takes me back. Trav, I think you said it best. That moment, Lakers are winning the championship.
It was over.
Like that was the okay. Denver's kind of putting a scare. There's some talent here. Hey, by the way, they got confidence. They were down 3-1 against the Utah Jazz. Yeah. They came back. They were down 3-1 against the Clippers. They came back, and you felt like yes, you're going to beat the Denver Nuggets, but that moment, Anthony Davis, which is really his defining moment so far in the NBA, Western Conference Finals. Puts up a buzzer beater. Lakers end up winning the series. He gets his first NBA.
And it was over. Even though it was the Western Conference Finals, that was kind of the end of the line because what was coming out of the Eastern Conference with the Heat at that point did not scare me at all. I remember when we first started doing together, I'm like, Al, this is a wrap. There's no way that Miami's going to beat the Lakers four times in 7 days. The second AD knocked that down, it was over. And this is what I'd like to see from him. Look, not game winner every night would be great, but what I would like is to not have it be the one moment we talk about, but one of many moments that we talk about where he just puts that team on his back and goes.
What's the date today? September what?
20.
September 20th. That was a year ago today. How the hell was that a year ago
today? In the conference finals.
In the conference finals. We saw the NBA finals, and oh, by the way, you still played a full season after that where the Milwaukee Bucks were crowned champions.
Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. The further we get away from 2020, the weirder it's going to sound. Wait, they played the NBA finals in November? Mm-hmm. Really? Are we sure about that? I thought they start that. I guess it was October, but the
October
whole thing
12th was the October 12th was the
bizarre.
Final game, and I remember, you know, we're about to start this NBA season. The preseason starts October 3rd. So before you even get to, you're going to be starting another season, and the Lakers still hadn't won that championship over a year ago. That just all,
it's
that
weird.
Whole math is
The whole thing is bizarre. 2-0, Al. The Rams are 2-0. They look to be in the mix of the best teams in the NFC. Now, we can talk about the Bucks and how they looked, and you can talk about San Francisco. They looked pretty good
They're
through their first two games as well. But I don't know if I have felt better about a Rams team after two games than I do about this one because of the change at quarterback. You got to see it all again yesterday. This man does things that you have not seen in this offense in the previous four seasons. The throws, the velocity, the temperament, even after a bad interception, you just come right back and throw darts after that. I couldn't be more pleased with Matthew Stafford after two games.
So every time I hear you say that, I'm trying to comprehend this and say to myself, okay, I get it, Trav. They're 2-0. Well, who'd they really beat? They beat the Chicago Bears, they're supposed to beat. They beat the Indianapolis Colts, they're supposed to beat. But you keep going back to there's a specific reason why you're more excited this season than in previous seasons, because you don't think this quarterback will lose you a game. That if I understand it correctly, that's what it ultimately comes down to.
Almost. It's he's not going to lose me several games, and more to the point, he's not going to lose me several games the exact
same way.
Mm-hmm. They play 17 games. There's 15 left. At some point, Matt Stafford's going to throw an interception that makes you go, "Oh God, really?" Right now, mm-hmm. It's going to be a tough one to swallow. I get it. That's Tom Brady's going to throw one of those too. Aaron Rodgers is going to throw one of those. It happens. But what he's not going to do is make the same mistake in week 5 that he made in week 7, that he made in week 9, that he made in week 13, where get rid of the ball. It's just, it's clean. It's relatively stress-free. Even when they were behind yesterday and he got the ball back, it wasn't this, well, are we going to get the guy that throws an interception? Or are we going to get the guy that takes a bad sack? Are we going to get a guy that throws a touchdown pass? Or are we going to get the guy that doesn't see that somebody's standing right in front of his receiver and he throws it to him anyway? There's none of that. It's gone.
If Carson Wentz is still in the game there in the fourth quarter, a couple minutes left, do you feel – basically, the moment Carson Wentz went out, you just kind of knew, okay, yeah, the game –
it was a wrap.
The game was over.
It was a wrap. Jacob Eason's not coming back.
If he's still in the game, is there some worry there that Wentz could – I know he has the potential to do it, but is there some worry that this guy can drive down? Now, this is why I mention it, is because a lot of things kind of went the Rams' way yesterday. Not everything, but enough things to where, let me use as an example, the first two drives for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
You go for it on four downs. Some of it, I think, was questionable play calling. Okay, give the Rams credit. They get no points. The Colts don't, and they're inside the 5-yard line. The next time down, I don't know what Wentz is doing. Throws an interception.
Neither did he.
No, like a shovel pass interception, which you don't see those very often.
Troy Reader.
So they get 0 points in two drives where they're within the 5-yard line. Okay. That's one thing. Second thing is, at one point in the game, they're actually up after the fumbled punt or whatever the case is. They're actually up. Stafford comes all the way down, drives, gets the field goal they need. Now, Rams have a 3-point lead. I say all this because as much as you're talking about how this was a good win over the Colts, there were some moments there that the Rams could have actually lost that game.
Well, there's those moments in every game. But I would flip it back on you. I don't know if they caught some good breaks or they just have a really good defense. Right? That the reason that they didn't get in from the 1-yard line is because the Rams had a hell of a goal line stand. The Rams have some really good defensive players. The Rams made a heads-up play. That play that Wentz made, you're talking about with the interception, mm-hmm. It was a terrible decision. It wasn't a super easy catch. That Troy Reader had to make that catch. That was not easy. He had to be heads-up. He had to be aware all of these moments.
Absolutely.
These are opportunities seized. And here's the thing. Like you said to me, if Wentz were still in there, how would I feel coming down the stretch? It would feel different, no question about it. The situation that I like more than anything else for the Rams, if you're mm-hmm. drawing something up perfect, it looks a lot like that yesterday. In a perfect world, you beat them by 3 touchdowns and you don't sweat it. But I like the idea of that Ram defense being on the field at the end of the game with the lead, as opposed to the Ram offense being on the field at the end trying to punch it in and end the game. Because Aaron Donald gets to the quarterback in those situations. The reason Carson Wentz was out of the game is because Aaron Donald finally got his hands
on him.
Right. He finally got his hands on him. That you were able to just that constant pressure that he brings. Maybe he doesn't get there in the first quarter. Maybe he doesn't get there in the second quarter. But when you needed it most, the goal line stand, the interception, the end of the game, Aaron Donald always shows up in those moments.
I guess this is my point. I don't feel like they've been tested yet. So I don't kind of sit back here this morning and say, wow, what an impressive 2-0 start. It more just has to do with the simple fact, yeah, you're supposed to be 2-0.
Are you going to come over to my side if they beat Tampa on Sunday? Will you finally get on board?
That's a big time. Can I do this? You don't even have to just beat Tampa. You got three games, your next three games, Tampa, Arizona, both at SoFi, and then at Seattle. Go 2-1. You come out of there 4-1 in your first 5 games to start the season. You've pointed out there's some gimmies and layups after that.
After that, it's the Lions, it's the Giants, and one other dog of a team, too, that I'm blanking on at the moment.
If you're 4-1 in this schedule, That means you beat a really tough team or two along the way. And that's what I'm most curious to see, because I don't think there was anything in these first 2 weeks. You could be excited about it. I just think that's what they were expected to
the
do.
The Texans are the third team in that mix as well. So, no, they are in a good position. Look, even if you lose two or three, which make you feel a certain way because they're playing against some better teams. But if you get to that 8-8 game mark and you're 6-2, you're loving it, regardless of who those wins are
against. But you don't want that loss against Seattle and Tampa. You see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, no, for sure.
You want one of those. Sometimes you can have a bad week because you just don't live up to the expectations. You don't play to your opponent. But when you get truly tested, that's why I think this weekend's going to be so excited. That's why I think these next 3 weeks are going to be excited, because they play good teams.
Brings us to our Stat Hero Weekend Hero. Now, if you're playing Stat Hero, and you should, you need to put Cooper Kupp on your team.
How ridiculous
is
this dude?
Cleaning up right now. I had Matt Stafford on my team this weekend. Mm-hmm. Didn't go my way. Matt Stafford did fine. Russell Wilson did a little bit better. Christian McCaffrey tore me up on Stat Hero this weekend. I almost did the block thing where you could take him too and just kind of neutralize
That's right.
Go down there. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to do Nick Chubb. I had a big weekend for Nick Chubb.
I had Dak. No.
Not Cooper Kupp good.
No. Cooper Kupp, by the way, what does he have now? 3 touchdowns in the first 2 games?
Mm-hmm.
Almost 300 yards.
And big ones. These are not like garbage time touchdowns or you know, the game's 42-10.
No.
These are big moment touchdowns.
But you know, to hit something, why you get so excited about Stafford, just use Stafford and Cooper Kupp as an example. Hits him in stride. Nobody has to wait. Nobody has to stop. On the run, on the money, and you continue to go.
That little route down the left-hand side when Stafford hit Kupp in stride, on money, didn't have to slow down. That was the throw there. It goes, yep, that right there. We didn't have that. That throw would have been at his knees. That throw would have been a little behind him. It would have been
high.
Over his head. It would have
long.
Been out in front. It would have gotten there on time. That turned a 8 or 9 yard play into a 20-yard play, whereas with Jared Goff, you have to stop and wait. You're going to see it tonight. He plays on Monday Night Football. You're going to see all of those things tonight and how he does it.
All right, Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives a player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 300% back on your first play. You can play today for tonight's Monday Night Football game as well.
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of Packers.
Are you going to be doing this? Are you going to be doing the Jared Goff, you want him to have as much, just so you can come in tomorrow and say, hey, didn't I tell you so?
I don't want him. Look, I don't. Not in a million years would I say I know him. I've interviewed him a handful of times. He's a really nice guy. And he did everything that you could ask for him to do here that was within his skill set. He wasn't a bad guy. He wasn't lazy. He wasn't a guy that wasn't a team player. He's tough as nails. He took some shots. He just wasn't as good as Matt Stafford.
Simply put.
Yeah, he's not as good as that other guy.
And maybe in 5 years, the decisions that you talk about he has a lot of difficulty with,
maybe that changes. I think this may be just kind of my worldview deal that – because I don't think that people change very often.
Once you're something, that's who you're
as an athlete in particular, some guys can have an evolution. Like, for instance, here's a good example. Vince Carter went from being one of the best players in the league, high flyer, you know, multiple time all-star, and then had an entire second career where he was a role player, a bench player, KG veteran, didn't have to play a lot. And there was an evolution of his game. And then there's some guys that the second their athleticism are gone, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't develop new tricks. Jared Goff's been in the league for 5 years, has one of the most active offensive minds as his head coach for most of the time he's been here. The same mistakes in his second year in the league were being made in his fifth year in the league. That does not fill me with it. Oh, he'll figure it out. Peyton Manning figured it out in a year.
Sure.
You know, some guys get it really quick. Some guys it never goes off. Unfortunately, I think Goff's the other guy.
It's time. You know what we're doing right now?
Hit me.
All right, we need listeners to call in right now. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776 for your chance to win tickets to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Los Angeles Rams this weekend.
Great game.
Plus, you got to guess the Super Bowl matchup and the score. This is all part of our Million Dollar Monday giveaway. Okay, so just to add a little element to this, you're going to get a chance to pick whether you want a Matt Stafford trivia question or a Tom Brady trivia question.
Ooh.
If you get it right, you get 2 tickets to this Sunday's game. then we'll and guess the score and an entry from there.
There you go. I'm
That's
trying
a
to think. Would
damn
I go,
good setup
would I go
right
Brady
there.
Or would I go Stafford? I need to think about it. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so Million Dollar Monday right now, Al. We are loaded up with calls and just going to kind of walk you through this one more time so everybody understands exactly what it is that we're doing. We're going to bring you on and we're going to ask you a question. You get to decide whether you would like a Tom Brady question or whether you would like a Matthew Stafford question. If you get that question correct, you win tickets to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in LA next weekend against the Rams. In addition to that, this is where Al's checked out. He's already got the prize that
he
wants.
Yeah, that's it.
But in addition to that, we're also going to ask you to make a prediction on your Super Bowl teams and what the final score is going to be. So you need to have those things ready to go. And let me just say, guys, if you don't know the answer to this, at least make sure we have an NFC and an AFC team, because if you come in with two from one, that's your answer and you're automatically out. So just make sure we're picking one from each conference.
Okay,
I'm trying to help you out here.
The other part of this, too, just to make sure we're all on the same page, if you get the trivia question wrong, game's over. You're gone.
Next person's
coming up.
Next person is coming up. Are we ready for this, Al?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Paul in Ventura. Paul, you are up first. How you doing today, Paul?
Hey, guys. I'm doing fine, Travis. Hi, Sliwa.
All right, buddy. What do you want? You want a Matt Stafford question or a Tom Brady trivia question?
Let's go with Brady.
Okay. What California town was Tom Brady born in?
Oh, my gosh. Northern California. California town.
Three.
Two, oh, my gosh.
One.
Guess. Just
Pleasanton.
Guess. Nope, that's incorrect. It is not Pleasanton. Sorry, Paul. It didn't work out for you.
I always get worried with those because I don't know if we're giving them enough time.
Yeah, no, that was enough time. We need to know the answer pretty quickly. Okay. Let's try another one here. Let's go to Fernando this time. And Oxnard, Fernando, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right, Fernando, do you want Brady or do you want Stafford?
I don't really know much about either, but
it's a good start.
Let's go with Brady.
Okay. I think you got a chance. Don't sell yourself short. Here we go, Fernando. What college did Tom Brady attend?
Damn, Michigan?
There you go. All right. Yeah. Way to go, Fernando. You got it. All right, so Fernando, before we let you go, you need to stay on hold, but I need you to do this. Give me your Super Bowl participants and the final score of that game, Fernando.
I'm gonna be a homer. I'm gonna say Rams versus Chiefs.
Okay, and the final score is what?
Let me say Rams 37 to 30.
So you have the Rams winning against the Chiefs 37-30.
Yeah.
There you go. Fernando, congratulations. You win tickets to Sunday's game against the Bucks, and you've got a chance to win $1 million. By the way, not a terrible pick, 37-30 against the Chiefs.
Do you know how pissed Carlo, Matthew, Hector, Joe, Steve, everyone's very upset that Fernando knew that answer.
They are a little upset, but they got a chance to win on Mason and Ireland.
That's
and they
right.
got a chance to win on Sedano and Cap. So you got other chances to win today.
You try to claim that you're not that nice of a guy.
Yeah.
No, you're a nice guy.
What did I do?
That question should have been further on. Like, hey, we got to get an answer. We can't be doing it. It's been 14 minutes when we started this trivia.
I understand, but when Fernando's first response is, I don't know anything about either of these guys.
He set you up.
Well, maybe. If he did, then it worked for him.
He set you up.
If that's what he did, then good for Fernando. Fernando, I'm proud of you. Good job. You got a chance to win. By the way, how good must that feel? I got tickets to the game.
Okay, wait,
and, by the way, I got a shot at $1 million.
Yes, correct. But let me go back to the game real quick, okay? I want to just go back to the game.
What are the Rams going to do on 3rd and 5?
A lot of our listeners have never been to SoFi Stadium, right? I haven't been to SoFi for a game. You know, we were there for a couple, whatever that was, a month and a half ago. To go to a game at SoFi Stadium for the first time, and you're playing Tom Brady and the Super Bowl champs, the defending champs, That's pretty special. Fernando gets that this weekend.
Yeah, look, I've only seen Tom Brady play once. It was in the Super Bowl in Atlanta a couple of years ago against the Rams. It's pretty fun to see one of those living legend guys.
I had season tickets at Foxborough.
All right, I've waited long enough for you to bring it up, so I'm just going to bring it up myself. Uh-huh. I won the week two of the picks.
All right, give us a breakdown of how you won.
Okay, well, I won both ways. I won under the Sliwa scoring system, and I won under the Travis scoring system.
Which one did you win more narrowly?
They're both the same. They're both barely. So here's what it is, right? It's the Sliwa picks. It's the Travis picks. It's the listener picks. We pick four games. We rank them with confidence points. Mm-hmm. All three of us went 1-3. So nobody had a good week.
The Rams didn't cover.
Rams didn't cover.
They won. What was it? 3.5 was?
It was.
I think it was 3.5.
Four. It
okay,
was four.
All right.
Pittsburgh lost straight up. They were favorites.
And the listener won that one. He picked the Raiders.
Hondo
picked
the Raiders at number one.
Yep.
And then you and I both had the Cowboys over the Chargers, but you had them at 1 and I had them at 2. So I win the week with 2 points. Everything else, Kansas City, we all had Kansas
That's
City.
Awful.
They lost, so
That's awful.
It was a bad week. So
what was the Chiefs? Chiefs was a big spread too, wasn't it?
The Chiefs had, no, only 3.5. So even if they kicked that field goal at the end, they still don't cover.
Yeah.
But they let that game go. That was a terrible look
so
for the
right
Chiefs.
So right now, it's 1-1-0.
Who has 0?
The listener has a point.
Yes.
You have 1 point as well.
I do.
And I had a bye week.
You're still hoping to get back into it. The correct way of scoring is the cumulative points. I have the lead along with the listeners. We both have 8. You're right there. You have 6. We got a long way to go. You're still there. But you might want to get on the board. That's all I'm saying is find a way to get one of them. I was right about that, the picks. I was also right about the UCLA Bruins. There was nothing I was more sure of than UCLA was going to do exactly what they did on Saturday night.
I heard you saying that for the last week, and they had an off week, so you had even more time.
2 weeks.
You had 2 weeks for them to prepare, and you had 2 weeks to say that UCLA loses games like this.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, Trap, listen, I get it. I understand. By the way, you know, just kind of throw this out there. Fresno State is now ranked top 25. They're now 3-1.
It's not the point.
They lost to Oregon by a touchdown a couple weeks ago. So Fresno State's actually a decent team.
They are a decent team.
If you're UCLA and you have this opportunity at the Rose Bowl, you're number 13 in the country. You're 11-point favorites. Everybody is now shifting their attention towards you.
Uh-huh.
You're up 37-33 with 54 seconds left in the freaking game. Fresno State has to go all the way down with a quarterback that it looks like has cracked ribs to not just get a field goal, get a touchdown. You probably slept so well on Saturday
Look,
night.
You know, I just figured it out. You're Charlie Brown and UCLA is Lucy. She's going to leave it down there. She's going to hold it. I get to kick the field goal. It's finally going to happen. And Lucy / UCLA went, nah, here you go, Chuck. Do your little cartwheel in the air, land flat on your back, and scream good grief. I don't care if there was 1 second left and they were down by 58 points. They would have found a way to lose the game because that's what UCLA does. They beat LSU. Great win. I'm not throwing any shade on that win. They beat
it was a good win.
Great mm-hmm. team. I don't know if LSU is great, but to beat LSU is a great win. And you're feeling really good about it. I have seen this movie so many times where UCLA goes, see, here we go. We're going to the Rose Bowl. We're going to win the Pac-12.
Don't
this
do that
is
voice.
The year
do the frat gonna... guy, the frat boy.
And then, bam, the team that comes in from a non-Power 5 conference. And to UCLA's credit, I'll give them a hair's width of credit. Fresno State's pretty good. Fresno State plays hard. They compete, and they've got good athletes on that team, and they're always a hard out. Oregon had a hard time putting them away, too.
Yeah.
But they did. but they did.
You're 11.
They found a way to win the game.
But this kind of goes, sometimes this falls into just the Pac-12 in general.
Uh-huh.
Right? Every time you just need a freaking double. Just keep winning.
You're not
going to get
it from UCLA.
Keep winning.
You got 2 chances. Utah's got a chance. Not this year. They lost to San Diego mm-hmm. State over the weekend in triple overtime. You got 2 chances in that league for somebody that's going to give you what you hope you get. Oregon and Utah. Not SC right now. Certainly not UCLA. Here's what's going to happen for UCLA. You ready?
Yeah.
Since I was exactly right about the first one. UCLA will now win 4 or 5 games in a row.
I was going to say, have some impressive
wins. They're going to win 4 or 5 games in a row and look pretty good doing it. And then all of a sudden, they're going to have a game against Cal or Arizona or one of
those. And they'll lose.
And they'll lose again. And you look at the end of the year, hey, you know, UCLA, they were 9-4. Pretty good year. You know, this next year.
It's the frat guy.
This next year might be pretty good. You know, Chip Kelly in year 4, He's going to be the guy that figures this out. Chip Kelly's fourth year at Oregon was this. UCLA, you know, they finally got rid of DTR. Then next year, no. Next
year. Throw me a beer, brother.
You're going to beat somebody you're not supposed to.
I don't know what that was.
And then you're going to lay an egg against somebody that you should probably beat. It's what they do.
Okay. USC.
Eh.
Okay. I think this is interesting about USC. I know we do this when we come back, but SC rolls Washington State. They got a couple games in front of them. As you know, the interim head coach right now, Dante Williams, kind of talked about maybe there's a quarterback duel. What if SC all of a sudden starts rolling teams and this coaching, we're looking for a coaching carousel? I think that might deserve more attention over the next couple of weeks if USC keeps winning.
Absolutely. We'll do that next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. I was conflicted over the weekend, Al. I really was about the SC score. Because they looked fantastic for the last three quarters of that game, 45-14. They looked really bad at the beginning, and I kind of was going back and forth with good. I want SC to be good. The Pac-12 across the board is better when SC is better. This city gets behind USC when they're good. It's exciting when Trojan football is relevant here. But in the back of my mind, I couldn't help but thinking, man, really? This is all it took, was to finally make a decision that was right there in front of your face for a couple of years, that Clay Helton was not the right guy for this, that the team was stagnant and stale and disorganized and bad penalties and not playing with a ton of passion. One guy gets shown the door, and all of a sudden the real Trojan shown up. Why didn't we do that a long time ago?
So I want to pause. I want to hesitate here for a second, because I don't think you're going to pick a game against Washington State where all of a sudden everything's going to change. The tide has changed. You know what? Clay Helton's gone. Now you got some new blood in there. By the way, this probably is common where you make a coaching change and everybody kind of rallies behind the new coach. How long is this going to last? That's the question. So I just say this, and I think I have my hesitation sometimes on the Rams. I want to see them against good opponents. Got my hesitation on USC as well. USC in about a month from now has a game against Notre Dame, at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's top 12 or something like that in the country. Maybe even better. I think they're sitting at 12. Can we see what USC does? And this is my curiosity. What happens if you're USC and you're Mike Bone, the athletic director, and you start winning some games right now? Okay, so you take care of Oregon State. Okay.
It's such a weird question, but
take care of Oregon State.
You're right.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Take care of Colorado. Awful. Then you got Utah after that. Two of those three games I mentioned are going to be at the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. Then you got that game against Notre Dame. Does USC look at the interim coach right now as somebody that's got a shot if he turns things around? I don't think. And you think they're going to hire somebody during the season?
No. In the only person that they will hire during the season is Dante Williams. He's the only one that has a chance to get hired in the middle of the year.
So this season's going to play out, and that's the point I'm trying to make. By the time this season's all said and done, do you have somebody that the students are or the athletes are playing for? Do you have somebody that all of a sudden you got guys after games saying, he should be our head coach? That's the guy. That's our leader. Look, you can't do it after, you know, like I said, you beat Washington State 45-14. That's all great and dandy. I just am curious if does USC have a plan that they're going to stick to, or could it change? And I bring up that question because it did change. They didn't expect Clay Helton to be out 2 weeks into the season.
No. Well, no. I hope not. I hope that wasn't the plan. And I don't want this to be about Dante Williams, because by all accounts, he's a great recruiter and a pretty good coach, and his team looked great on Saturday. So let's just he happens to be the guy that got the job. Could have been anybody. If they end up hiring him, I think it's just another example. And again, let me be very clear. This isn't a reflection on Dante Williams. It's a reflection on whoever stepped into the void. For instance, Clay Helton stepping into the void a couple of different times. Mm-hmm. It means that you didn't have a plan to begin with. I think you're right. I think that coming into this season, not having already made your call on Clay Helton at the end of last season, and then firing him two games into the season, goes to show that you didn't know what you were doing. You either fire him at the end of the season, or you let this thing play out after a bad night.
You went with the wind.
You went with the wind, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if all of a sudden the wind starts blowing in the direction of your interim coach, and they start winning a bunch of games in a garbage league this year. Pac-12 is bad this year. I'm a Pac-12 guy. I root for the Pac-12 when they go out of the conference, but seeing what we've seen so far, with the exception of Oregon, really nothing has looked very good. And you decide that because he beats a bunch of bad teams that that's your guy, that's a problem, because now you're just following the wind again. If you go and win a bunch of those games, and let's say they come out of this and they're 9-4. Not, you know, I think they play 13 games, but let's say it's 9-4, 9-3, whatever it is. And you decide to go somewhere else, that makes me feel a little bit better, because it meant that you looked around, you made a decision, that was my guy, this is where I think I need to go. It would fill me with confidence. But if they decide that this is the direction they're going to go just because he gets hot this year, that's not a winner.
But let me explain. Can't you get more information on something and then decide whether this is, let's hypothetically speak, you have an interim coach. You're not sure how he can do in that position, in that role. Do you ignore somebody that has success? Do you ignore somebody that is leading the troop? Do you ignore somebody? Yeah, this happens. Sometimes,
it does.
Sometimes a business or a company, they go out looking for somebody. And then really what they eventually find out, we have our CEO right within the company.
Yep.
Just using that as an example, right? We hired from within. That might not have been their game plan. And 6 weeks from now, maybe that's a whole different conversation, because SC's playing some great football. I don't know if it's going to happen.
I'll give you a scenario where I can live with that. And it matters much more. And I think this is true. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about with Walker Buehler a minute ago. There's results, and then there's what does it look like, right? That while Walker Buehler's results the last couple of games have not been what you're looking for, he's pitched fine. He had one bad game against the Giants. Whatever. Throw it away. Happens to everybody. It doesn't really move me in any meaningful way about Walker. I still think he's otherworldly good. I have complete confidence in him. This is kind of the same thing with SC. If SC comes out and looks like they looked against Washington State, they're flying around, they're hitting, they're making plays, they look athletic, they're not taking a bunch of dumb penalties, guys are following their assignments, they're getting better week to week, they're looking better in week 8 than they looked in week 4, and everything looks sharp and crisp and fast and new, I'm in. That means that he's taking them through the process that a good head coach does. If they just go through and win a bunch of games because the Pac-12 is lousy, I'm not going to let the result steer me in a direction.
How did you win?
What does it look like?
Is there a big picture?
Is the culture back? That you said it earlier. One of the things I love about what he said, Dante Williams I'm talking about, is that, you know, Jackson Dart comes in and Keaton Slovis gets hurt and Dart comes in and he lights it up. I love that there's a competition now.
Is exact quote?
Yeah.
Every day, every position of everybody on this team, it's always a battle. He's talking about specifically the quarterback spot.
Yeah, let's go. That's what they did at SC. Under Pete Carroll at SC, where all of a sudden it wasn't just, oh, I'm next. I'm the next best senior. Show me. Who's the best player? Because you know who didn't do that? Clay Helton. Oh, let's go back to Sam Darnold's freshman year here at SC. Okay, I was doing the SC pregame show at the time, okay, and it was around a ton of SC people, and they were all saying the same thing. Sam Darnold's the best quarterback on this team, but I forget who the other guy was. I wish I could pull it. But there was another player. Was it Max Brown? It might have been Max Brown. I'll look it up in a second. But it was well known. Clay Helton knew that Sam Darnold was the best quarterback on the team, but this guy hadn't had a chance yet. He's been in the program a long time. Was it Max Brown? Yeah. So he's been in the program a long time. We got to give him. No, you don't. Tough, you know what, for that guy. I get it. Nice kid, worked hard, been in the program, done all the right things. That other guy's better than you. He's going to play. Because what happened? When they finally said, let's put the better quarterback in, SC took off. Let's do that every week. I get it. There needs to be some consistency, but let's make guys fight for spots. Let's find the 11 best players and have those guys play, not the guy that's been around the longest.
By the way, that if you want your blueprint of success in any business, company, organization, you can't just say, well, this person's been here for 9 years. Well, why wasn't that person? I'm just using that as an example. What if you got somebody else that's hungrier, wants it more? They're going to work harder. There is something to that. And I think if you create that type of culture, it makes everybody better.
What does it look like? Does it look like SC is playing like? Because they did. Out for 3 quarters, they look like the SC team that we've been waiting for a long time. They look fast. They look athletic. Yeah, Washington State stinks. I get it. But it looked good. Can you do that week after week after week? Not just win the game. I don't want you to beat Oregon State 27-24 with a field goal at the end. Fine, you won, but that's not going to fill me in the right direction.
Can you give – I know we got to go to break here. give your comp when we come back, because the power rankings before Major League Baseball started had a number of teams in the mix. And team by team, they're getting thrown out of the mix here where it doesn't look like they're going to be part of the playoff picture. For the Dodgers, they've been steady. So let's do that. Plus, I know we got the dump as well. Stay right here. Travis and Sliwa, 710 ESPN.
You bring up a good point, Al, about the Dodgers, where they are right now. Look, one game to go, or I should say one game behind, 12 games to go, right? A lot of stuff went wrong for the Dodgers. Now, a lot of stuff went right, too, because namely they have a lot of really, really good
players. They're loaded. Yep.
And they made a really good trade at the deadline. But go back to, as hard as it is to remember, go back to the end of April, early May, when the season's just getting started. What was the – there were kind of three storylines, right? There were, are the Dodgers going to win 110 games?
Yep.
Maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
Not 110, but it might be 104 or 5. So they checked that box. They've done what they've done. Pennant race, to be sure, was a little unexpected, but they've performed at a very high level. The Yankees, hey, they've got everybody. They're going to run away with the American League, right? The Yankees, if the playoffs started today, would not be in them.
That's right.
They're out of the playoff picture and scrapping to get in with a wild card. The Padres, are they ready to challenge the Dodgers? Mm-hmm. We're going to have 19 World Series games against the Padres. That's what Justin Turner said at the beginning of the year. The first 10 or so, sure as hell
very
felt
excited.
Like it.
Yeah, very excited. We had games in April where it's like, wait, this isn't October?
They're coming unglued. They've already fired their pitching coach. Their two best players are screaming at each other in the dugout. Their manager, if the season ends on a Sunday, by Monday morning, he's going to update his LinkedIn page.
Yep.
He's cooked. Mm-hmm. That thing is an absolute wrap. It really is a testament to just the stability of the Dodgers that despite Trevor Bauer, despite missing a bunch of guys with injuries, despite having a 5-15 stretch, despite the Giants playing out of their minds all season long, Dodgers just kind of plugged along and been almost exactly what you thought. Maybe they got there differently, but the performance has been remarkably consistent.
Plugged along, and you know the front office did work when they needed to. We've said this a couple times before. The Padres season ended at the trade deadline. That was it. It was over.
It really was.
It really was. And I don't, you know, I genuinely, it was the difference. The franchise had, I thought, a chance if Max Scherzer comes to the dot or to the Padres. You still had Hugh Darvish, you had Blake Snell, you had some other players that, you know, you can, and some star power on offense. Okay. Since that trade didn't happen and it went to the Dodgers, the Dodgers took off in the other direction. Now the Dodgers have much more talent, but from a front office perspective and all the preseason rankings and this is what it looks like in spring training, what teams are going to come out on top. Even, I mean, the biggest storyline, the biggest surprise in Major League Baseball has been the San Francisco Giants. So they deserve an unbelievable amount of credit.
It's hard for me to say out loud, but you're right.
But when the dust settles, the team like the Padres, the Yankees, those teams aren't there and the Dodgers just keep flowing.
The Yankees fall into this category a little bit too, but the Padres, it's a perfect juxtaposition. The Dodgers have expectations every year and they wear it pretty well. You know, this is what we are. We got to win the division. We got to go to the World Series. We got to win the World Series. That's how it goes. The Padres, for the first time in forever, it's like, hey, you guys might be pretty good. Just a mess. They couldn't hang for 1 year with expectations hanging around them. Again, credit to Dave Roberts for keeping his guys together.
You worried about the Cardinals at all?
Yeah, of course.
They've won 8 in a row, 9 of 10.
Yes, because of that and because it's one game. Look, Max Scherzer hasn't given up a hit in 9 seasons, right?
Yeah. It was 1996 he gave up his last hit.
You're telling me that 1-0 isn't a possibility? Of course it is. A hit batter, okay? A sacrifice and a bleeding base hit, 1-0, and that's it. Sure, it could happen. I'm terrified of the Cardinals. I'm terrified of whoever comes out of that wild card game.
Well, this just also shows these final 12 games, Dodgers are going to treat it literally as if every game is a playoff game. They want to be, we've talked about this for a long time, but just 12 games left. They want to avoid what you're talking about.
Absolutely. It's time for the dump. This kind of stays with the Dodgers here a little bit, Al. Did you see Mookie give that bat to the fan in Cincinnati? How great was that?
So something stood out to me, and we're talking about, you know, just simply kind of the face of baseball, right? And this kind of came up over the weekend. You saw Tatis in the dugout, him and Machado arguing. You've already made your claim. You like Machado doing what he did because he thought it was a selfish
move. Pull your head out, buddy. Let's go.
And then you got Mookie.
Yeah.
What was the guy's name that got his first home run?
TJ Friedel hit his first major league home run. Ball goes into the right field stands. Okay, in Cincinnati, it's at that point, it's incumbent on the Reds to track that ball down and get it back for the guy so he has a souvenir. Mookie Betts, visiting team, is in right field, negotiates a deal right there.
He's putting together a deal.
He gets the ball back, and then the next inning, he brings a bat out and hands the guy one of his bats. It was
autographed
fantastic.
Autographed Mookie Betts bat.
By the way, it's TJ Friedel or Mookie Betts signed autographed bat. Give me the bat. Pretty easy. But how great of a look for the Dodgers, how great of a look for Mookie.
Well,
and it wasn't done to make it look good. It just did look good.
That's the key. Mookie doesn't need another camera. Mookie isn't looking for a PR stunt. No, Mookie Betts is just being Mookie Betts, but I'm glad it was all covered.
All right, so on the Rams postgame show last night, one of the first segments that we do after the game is Sean McVay speaks with JB and MJD after the game, and he was pretty fired up.
We're a resilient group, and that's going to serve us well.
Okay, so that happened, and then JB says, don't worry, coach, we're going to be able to edit that out for you, and then Sean McVay doubled down.
Let's go, guys.
So that's how that went. Tell me you don't get fired up if your coach is doing that.
That is amazing. That is amazing. I've heard Clay Helton do that before. I've heard him a couple times drop a couple F-bombs at the right time. No, that honestly is hilarious, and we have to keep that and use it 95 times during this season.
Let's go, guys.
Absolutely. I loved every minute of it. Back to SC football very quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit of a nervous flyer. I'm better than I used to be, but I don't love it. I'll get on. I don't need to be, strung out on drugs to get on the plane, but I'm a little bit of a nervous flyer. After seeing what happened to the USC plane, it's going to be a while before I get back. Did you the plane?
Yeah.
Apparently, planes have something called a tail stand. Who the hell knew that?
And they forgot to.
Like, think of your bicycle. You're 8 years old. You ride it up to your buddy's house, and you put the bike down, and you throw the kickstand down. Apparently, airplanes have that, too, because they forgot to do it, and this thing tipped back on its tail with the nose pointed in the sky.
So I don't mind flying. I really don't. It's not a problem. But taking off, I get a lot of weird thoughts that come into my mind. Landing, I get a lot of weird thoughts that come into my mind. If at any point that happened where it just started kind of leaning back, whatever the place is, whatever the concept is, I'm not showing up to next week's game at Arizona. I'm like, I'm driving there. I'll drive
Chet,
there.
You put the kickstand down on that 737? Oh, yeah, my bad. Kickstand on it? Come on, man. Let's
get
some jet.
Kickstand on a 737.
It's what they forgot to do. Oh, the tail stand was not deployed properly.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
I mean, we're just one guy forgets to press a button in the tip, the nose of the plane.
What if I'm trying to get off the plane? How does this work?
That is a bad deal. All right, so Oklahoma played Nebraska this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Oklahoma's good. Nebraska isn't. There was, quite honestly, and I don't say this to be hyperbolic.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this.
It might be the greatest interception I've ever seen in my entire life. DJ Graham is a defensive back for Oklahoma. There's Nebraska's driving.
Yep.
He throws the ball towards the right corner of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Graham, on the dead run, jumps in the air with his right hand. Okay, the ball's going to the opposite corner. A backhanded, one-handed interception in midair, and then does a full 180 so he doesn't land on the ball before he hits the ground. Odell Beckham, you have been replaced. That is the greatest catch I've ever seen in my life.
Wasn't that impressed? He fell to the ground, so he was down right there. If he could have just landed on his feet, now you're talking about a return, Trav. This is why we don't get along. This is why. No, Odell Beckham, one of the greatest catches of all time. That genuinely, I just saw it here. You said, Al, come over here. You got to see this. That's one of the baddest catches I've ever seen.
I've never seen one better. I mean, there's been a lot of good ones. Odell's, of course, is most recently, but that thing was one-handed, backhanded, back.
And here we are talking about why our hamstrings and our knees hurt while we're sleeping.
Last night, Sunday Night Football, the Ravens beat the Chiefs for the first time in the Lamar Jackson era. That was a good win for them. They needed it. The Chiefs seem oddly disinterested for this early in the season, but the Ravens played Omar's whistle before they came out of the tunnel for there, because Micah K. Williams played Omar on the wire set in Baltimore. I thought that was pretty sweet.
Loved it. By the way, you had, all over Twitter, everybody just, and by the way, nobody came out of the tunnel. It was just they played it, which I think was beautiful. You had a lot of fans who were in the stadium that were posting it on Twitter as well. Really cool touch, and like you said, based out of Baltimore.
It was fantastic, but much better than Ray Lewis doing whatever it is, that Ray Lewis thing that he'd do where he'd grab the grass and gyrate.
Yeah,
I'm good. I know. If I never see that again, that's fine.
You know, they get pumped in Baltimore for that, for some Ray Lewis.
Yeah, they can. I don't need to see. Let's put it on the side. Let's do the Omar whistle. How do they find the pod, Slim?
All right, ESPN app or on iTunes. You could catch the full 3 hours. So from 9:55 to 1 o'clock, we'll have on the podcast channel, just search Travis and Sliwa.
No Dodgers tonight.
Yep.
They got an off night tonight, and then they go right back at it in Colorado. Three games. They got their three best guys. They need to win how many of those games, Al?
So out of the next 12 games or these three?
These three.
You got to sweep these three.
With those three guys, you
take five of six
do.
Between the Rockies and the Diamondbacks over the next six games.
That's only two, though, because you're not going to lose. If you lose to Arizona, it's a wrap. You have to beat Arizona. We're going to break it all down for you tomorrow. We'll talk about Jared Goff being back on Monday Night Football. A bunch of things to get to. Mason and Ireland coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.